Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Unitrend Auto Workers Union. My name is Jack. That over there, well, that's Miles.
Miles.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. The guy kind of loves that voice.
Really?
When I do that
voice. I mean, it's pretty cool.
He's like still learning to talk, but he will always do that back to me if I go,
demon boy. He's like, bah, bah, bah.
I'm like, oh shit. All right, man. You take after your old man. You'll be doing an Australian accent in no time.
Yeah, I was doing bits with my kids the other day, and I was like, did my dad ever do like bits, like voices and like just dumb shit like
that? Yeah.
I'm sure he did, but anyways.
You're like thinking back, you're like, did my father do bits
with me? Was my father a bit idiot?
A bit idiot.
Miles, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We just had a fantastic recording with the one and only Mr. Cold Brew. Sorry to tease that out, but it's...
That's all right. I was there too, so I don't... It's not anything.
I just want to let people know.
Yeah,
you're
get ready.
Buckle
prepare
your safety belts again.
Gird your loins. A gross phrase that is, I think people said, though, in history. So I didn't just make it up, if that weirded you out.
What does that mean, to...
Gird your loins?
Just means like it's time to get ready, right?
Yeah, gird yourself is like, you know... I always picture it as like, you know, flexing and getting into a crouch, like a giant wave is about to hit
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
But we're also not doing great, Miles.
I didn't realize that it's about tying your tunic up for battle.
Okay. Gird your loins, boyo.
Yeah. There's like a whole thing is like how to gird your loins. And it's like a dude in a fucking tunic who's just like, yeah, man, wrap that shit around your balls because it's fighting time.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want that shit flapping around.
No,
we both had truly brutal losses in the NBA playoffs. We're not going to talk about it. I mean,
it's fine. Because I've already accepted. I said this in multiple chats. I said this to Prop and Sophie Lichterman and other Laker fans I know when they were getting all turned up for the performance that was happening in game two. I said, bro, this season's over. I don't care how much they're leading by. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we both got matching dick kicks, as I said.
Matching
in the text thread.
Dick kicks.
We got matching. The Sixers got a fucked up ending to their game, and the Lakers also had a fucked up ending.
Spider-Man
to their
meme with both of us pointing at each other while being kicked in the dick.
Yeah.
The 76ers lost in brutal, heartbreaking fashion. They were up like 5 with, less than a minute to go, and ended up losing it.
Brunson had a terrible game, and he's like, "Let me just bring the game closer with this." Bouncy off the rim three,
and then Dante DiVincenzo really to the Kawhi Leonard shot. Also, you're allowed to tackle people in the final minute of the game. Nobody told us that. If they told us that, we would have played differently.
Man, Maxie anyways, was definitely confused after that. He was like, is there... Anyway,
Yeah, and then the Lakers were up 20 in the second half, and game winner. It was a difficult night of basketball.
Look, like I said in the other thread with Jabari and you, it's hard to watch if you have expectations.
Yeah,
I expected that to happen, so I was like, yeah, here they go. Go ahead, do your thing, bro. Yeah. And we want to bring Darvin Ham back? Okay, all right.
I try not to watch Sixers games, and then you and Jabari are like, whoa, wow.
Look at that.
Yeah, you kept saying golly, so I turned it on and then just got my heart ripped out of my rib cage.
See, that's the fun part about watching as a neutral, is you get to be invested in it. Like, whereas I'm sure other people watch Lakers like, oh, this could be interesting. And I'm like, yeah, forget it. But there were some golly moments. Some golly moments.
There
were
some golly. All right. Let's talk about
people that are winning.
Yes. Winners unions right now. Specifically, the United Auto Workers ratified their contracts with the big three automakers in November. We heard about that one. That was big.
Huge.
News. And then now they've also, there's a recent win for the UAW at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
Don't give the labor movement any more fucking props. I mean, like, For them, for it to be described as like historic and stuff, it wasn't front page news. It was buried somewhere, you know, in the recesses of the Washington Post or New York Times. But, you know, despite the tepid response from the newspapers, the governors of Texas, South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Georgia, they collectively fired off this warning, which was, quote, we want to keep good paying jobs and continue to grow the American auto manufacturing sector here. A successful unionization drive will stop this growth in its tracks.
Mm.
So, and that's where you're like, growth for who?
Yeah.
Because how are you going to tell somebody who's working for wages that their wages not growing is somehow growth?
Yeah.
The
reason this is bad for big business is that, you know, these state governments are able to recruit like German automakers to the U.S. by being like, hey, and we can treat our laborers like shit. It's cool, man. Yeah, there's specifically a quote. German workers don't relish competing with cheaper foreign, in this case, United States, labor.
Yeah, it's right. And like, they're like, ist cool? Yeah, man. Ist cool, bro. You can fucking, you can absolutely take advantage of this labor force out here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what is interesting about this case, right? Is like, because again, like you said, these governors, they're taking it, they're kind of having some ownership of this because of the amounts of subsidies that they give away to bring the foreign automakers here. And that's why this is a special case, because there are unionized plants in the South, but this is a foreign plant. And because of the strength of the unions in Europe, like these companies like Volkswagen are just not as horny to go scorch earth with the union busting. They're just like, yeah, man, just like out there, like it's a bad look. Like you try to stay neutral in this shit. But the other thing is they've already teamed up with like Coke funded entities to like make their states as hostile to unions as possible. There's this group called the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC.
They sound like good guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound like good guys. Yeah. Yeah. ALEC Baldwin. Good guy.
Love that.
But they've been bandying about this bill called the Taxpayer Dollars Protect Workers Act that bars state subsidies to any business that recognizes a union.
Oh, okay.
So another way to put that is that they will pay people to ignore the fuck out of unionization drives.
Right.
And then you can get some state subsidies. So up next is a Mercedes plant in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. If you read the New York Times, like their labor reporters sort of like, yeah, I don't know. Like maybe something could happen. Probably not. Probably nothing to worry about here. But if you talk to like United Auto Workers organizers, they are very confident that they are going to have the numbers to win. So, you know, I think the governor in Alabama has only like one tactic in trying to convince workers to avoid unions. And it's essentially just saying like, just make less money.
Right.
It's like, oh, no. Okay.
Right.
But they're going to be the party talking to the working class. Right.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean.
Is that an option for companies to just ignore unions? Just ignore it?
I think what they're doing is like, it's mostly that they've the collection of union authorization cards is what the language that they're using. So it's going to be, the bills are probably going to be signed. I think Brian Kemp in Georgia is about to sign it. Kay Ivey is about to sign it in Alabama. Like it's just so wild how like these Koch funded groups are like, all right, all these auto plants in the South, we've got bills for all you governors to make this shit obviously the most hostile shit to workers as possible and pro corporation as much as possible.
Right. Right. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Yeah. Maybe the mainstream media might not, but
it's just weird how they don't want to keep giving, like fanning the momentum of the organized labor movement. Cause they're like, oh man, like just don't let people know that this is a way to fucking have, you know, collective power.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple updates on the UNRWA or the UN Relief Works Association. That's the group that is, you know, UN workers who are trying to do like humanitarian aid that had Israel basically say they are like terrorists.
Yeah.
Which seemed weird at the time.
Yeah. And it was very interesting too, because that allegation caused a lot of Western nations, you know, other settler colonial nations to be like, well, then we're pulling funding. You said they're Hamas?
Yeah.
Well, then no way. And this was the main relief agency that was helping Palestinian people. So like, this was very intentional to be like, we're going to take away any sort of support mechanisms that exist for you. Well, guess what? The UN conducted their own investigation in like specifically not about how many people were involved on October 7th, because that's a separate allegation, but there was allegations of like militancy within this organization. The UN and multiple human rights organizations said they could find no evidence that these people were like actively militant or had like ties to Hamas. And they said the Israeli government specifically in their report has not provided supporting evidence for this allegation at all. As they were asking them, we're like, well, we're doing an investigation. Like, yeah, we can't get that to you quite yet.
We're still doing the investigation. And while we are, we feel like the best course of action is to act as though we have found evidence of their guilt.
Exactly. Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, there's reports of like this mass grave at a hospital in Gaza. And the Secretary of State, like when asked about it, he's like, okay, well, yeah, we'll look into that, as if we're talking about someone saying like the water cooler is fucking broken in the break room.
Right.
Like we're fucking like, this is just what's so frustrating, I think, for so many onlookers. Like that is such a demonic response when most people understand now, like the U.S. has floor seats. They're front row for this shit, and they're rah-rahing it and throwing their bills into the ring. And the best is like, yeah, we'll look into that. And the double speak of like, well, you know, there's going to be repercussions or whatever. We're not seeing anything like that. And innocent people continue to die. So I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say do better, but fucking do better, because there's fucking genocide happening.
Yeah.
And then that also ties into this Columbia University story. So over the weekend, there were, you know, like over 100 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested on the campus of Columbia University. Like the police cleared out this like encampment that the students had set up, again, because they're saying stop the genocide.
Right.
And this was wild. The NYPD cleared them out. And this fucking response by the New York Police Department was criticized by the NYPD. The chief of police, John Chell, stated that, quote, the students that were arrested were peaceful, offered no resistance whatsoever, and were saying what they wanted to say in a peaceful manner.
Yeah. That's the NYPD. Tough when the NYPD is like, you're kind of like fucking up here, guys.
I don't see what the fuck that was all about. And then again, Monday, we heard that they were moving classes to be held virtually, because there was like one group on campus that Columbia's Orthodox Union Jewish Learning Initiative said that students should stay home. There was another group, Columbia and Barnard Hillel. They said, we don't see a reason for people to stay off of campus. Like, we have not assessed any danger to students there. But this like goes on again, because now people are like, the media is doing this thing of conflating anti-genocide, anti-apartheid, pro-peace, pro-Palestinian, non-violent protest with like violent anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And it's true. There are fucking bad actors, and there are people who are completely taking this message the complete wrong way. I'm not saying that that's not happening.
Yeah, there's anti-Semitism and like people using this as an opportunity to foster anti-Semitism online, in reality, for sure. There's also widespread Islamophobia that doesn't get mentioned by the mainstream media. At the same
time. And again, but I think with Colombia specifically, it's really important to understand they have like no one right now, like with that unfolding, the only people that were allowed on the campus of Colombia were people who had Colombia University IDs. So a lot of people are looking at protests that are happening just outside of the campus and saying this is part of the Colombia students protest, which has a different energy than the peaceful protests that were happening on campus, like with the students. And I think that's like that's context that isn't really being provided much. And just something I've read from a lot of the criticism about the coverage of these protests. When again, like the other thing too, that they're also, these students are protesting, was getting the university to also divest, quote, from its financial holdings in firms that profit from Israel's war and occupation in Palestine. Right. So it's just, it's just fucking mass confusion. But more protests have popped up on other college campuses in solidarity. We saw also at NYU, the professors were like locking arms to protect the students and their ability to peacefully protest. I don't know. I feel like we're seeing more of like a sea change slightly, like in kind of like what we're seeing on like mainstream campuses or whatever. Yeah. But the real changes need to happen with the US government and actually doing something rather than, I don't know, Joe Biden just like kissing his chances of being president goodbye.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
And we're back.
We're back.
Typewriter enthusiasts are a group of people. Tom Hanks is one. That's about as far as my knowledge of typewriter enthusiasts goes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's like a collector, right?
He's a typewriter collector.
Yeah, that's
cool. And mm-hmm. There was like a brief period where I was like really into writing when I was young, and I was like, I should like start using a typewriter. That'd be sick.
You were, that was
like,
you?
Like Hemingway?
With like a cigarette dangling from your lip and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know that.
And then
vibe.
I got one, and like that shit is so hard to type on. Oh my God.
You
I
just
got like
gave up.
Literally,
like,
I got a sentence into my typewriter era and was like, well, this doesn't work at all for me.
Well, my pinky hurts.
Yeah. But anyways, Taylor Swift's new album has had a lot of typewriter based imagery in its promotion. There's a lyric reveal video. And the music video for the song Fortnite, in which she and Post Malone pound away at typewriters, creating some kind of like swirly magical sex cloud thing.
I know. Did the colors have to be so like gender heteronormative?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She
His
has a soft
blue
pink.
And hers are pink.
It's a boy.
Because, yeah.
And that's how you know the those things were fucking, because they wanted to make it clear that it's blue wave and pink wave.
Yeah. But fans even noticed that the typewriter used in the video contained a secret message because no number one key. She's had songs that are like, you could have been the one, you know. So this is implying that she has lost her one, or no one else is ever going to be the one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except in reality, that's how all typewriters were made. Because people just used lowercase L's for ones to save space and reduce costs, because typewriters were like, you know, you paid by the key. I guess
it's a straight line, man. You need one, you got two. You got two ways you can do that on
here. But yeah, I don't know. Paranoid typewriter hobbyists are worried that Taylor Swift's endorsement will lead to an influx of Taylor Swift fans buying old typewriters, which will drive up the cost.
I don't think so, guys.
Yeah,
I think
the
you're
lyrics
right.
to the the title song of the album, like, make fun of, like, this is literally the lyrics, right? You left your typewriter at my apartment, straight from the tortured poets department. I think some things I never say, like, who uses typewriters anyway?
Damn,
she's
Jack,
just
you
fucking
were
roasting you
just fucking
for using
off.
A typewriter.
Dude, that's you, bro. You were tortured poets department.
I was tortured
when you got that
poets department.
Yeah.
Yo, but for someone like, I was not tortured enough.
Right.
For someone to stick with it after realizing, like, oh, we just have computers that are way better, and like the typing on this shit sucks. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Is, I was not tortured enough.
Yeah. That's like someone who's like, I only do daguerreotype photography.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it, man. Like, you could alter digital image, but you want everybody to stay still while you use your phosphorus flash bar.
That's right. Does make it cool. I like the sound of typewriters. I just can't be bothered to actually do the work of powering them.
Remember word processors?
I'm typing
like
on one right now.
But like the all-in-one machines.
Yeah.
Because like my mom, when she was like writing for Japanese magazines and stuff, I remember she would always bring this heavy ass word processor. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, are there games on there? She's like, get the fuck away from this thing. This is my job. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
It's a serious work. I mean, that's all we had. We had like a whole ass computer. We had like a office desk chair that you could roll around on, and a whole ass computer that was only used. It like basically only had Microsoft Word on it. That was
right.
Was
well,
the
and then
Ski Free.
There's Ski Free would be on there. Minesweeper, Solitaire. Yeah.
I never tried to install Ski Free at home. That was some school shit though.
Dude, when you set that fucking tree on fire by jumping over it,
that was sick.
Dude,
was that the one where the Yeti would come out?
The Yeti would come out. Yep, that part.
Let's see. A millionaire went homeless as a social experiment with the goal of making $1 million in 12 months.
Yo.
And he did
this
not
this guy,
succeed.
Fucking goon. He's like, I'm putting myself into debt. I'm losing all my money. And guess what? I'm going to get to $1 million. And he's like, starts off talking about how he has no home. He's like LARPing as like a working person, basically. It was kind of fucking obviously offensive. But then like eventually like he started having health issues, and he's like, guys, it's just, there's no way to do this like when you have health issues and like health
it's
complications
not fair.
And no
it's not fair
it's just not fair I'm health, not gonna that, actually issues. This is like, it's not fair to do this, so I'm not doing it anymore. Like, and he pulled the plug on it.
Fortunately, nobody in real world, none of the unhoused people that he saw and were like, yeah, right, No way I'm giving them money. If I was them, I would simply get a high-paying job and save $1 million. Exactly. Those people, fortunately, never have health problems and that drive them into debt.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So, but like, so it's not cheating. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... like, it's just like not fair. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I play the game on hard mode, and I should have just been a little bit more like realistic about like what my skill level was.
Those people should just say, actually, I'm not playing anymore, and go back to having millions of dollars.
Yeah. I actually wasn't playing. But yeah.
And that was actually, this was my point the whole time, was to show
that it's impossible.
Yeah.
But like, the stress got to me, man, of not having money. Oh, did it?
Oh, buddy. Anyways, those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday, April 23rd. Yeah. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show.
Buckle
with
the fuck Chris up.
Crofton.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. Nope. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.